breaking down. Brought it all up, got it all out. What is it worth to both of us now? It's on my chest, but never on my mind. Two drinks in, hit that hurt. You feel bad, and I feel worse. I swear it's the last time, every time. Don't know why. Might have been a song. Like you, might have been a fluke, might have been a full moon, might have been a little too tired to fight, might have been a got a little drunk last night. Might have been a song on the radio, might have been nothing, baby, I don't know. Might have been a girl that looked like you, might have been a fluke. Might have been a fool, might have been a little too tired to fight, might have been a got a little drunk.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Former President Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris focusing on undecided voters in Southwest battleground states. Both in Nevada tonight. Trump also makes a stop in New Mexico. Harris in Arizona. ABC's Karen Travers has more on Harris's closing message.
She is going to talk about what she will do on day one if she is elected. And you heard her say this in that speech in the Ellipse the other night when she started that closing message. She will say that when she is elected on day one, she's bringing a to-do list to the Oval Office. And if Donald Trump is elected, he would be bringing in an enemies list because he's only out for revenge and retribution.
Consumer spending rose just 2.1% in September from a year ago, hovering just above the Federal Reserve Board's target rate, the inflation gauge falling to its lowest level since 2021. Mortgage rates, though, continue a roller coaster ride. Freddie Mac shows the average 30-year home loan rose to 6.72%. This is ABC News.
You ever try fixing your car and realize you're missing that one part? Yeah, been there. That's why eBay's my go-to. They've got millions of parts, guaranteed to fit. I'm talking brake pads for when yours have seen one too many miles of stop and go. Oil filters, because you don't mess around with your engine care. Even got this cold air intake on my watch list. I might just go for it. To keep the ride cool and your DIY streak hot. Find all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
People just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like, you know to check that your seats aren't in the visitor section first before buying tickets.
I'm so excited for this game. I can't believe you got us tickets.
Me too. Wait, are we on the wrong side?
Yeah, checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds.
This is going to be a long game.
You're in good hands with Allstate.
Savings vary. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, filling in for Ted Allen. I'm Raymond Neupert. Happy Halloween. It was dueling political rallies in Wisconsin yesterday. Donald Trump addressed a crowd in Green Bay. Earlier, he spoke at a crowd in North Carolina.
This Tuesday, you have to stand up and you have to tell Kamala that you've had enough, that you're not going to take it anymore. Kamala, you're fired. Get the hell out of here. Get out of here, Kamala. The hell out of here.
VP Harris was at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison, where she promised to bring people together.
I pledge to seek common ground and common sense solutions to the challenges you face. I am not looking to score political points. I am looking to make progress.
Both candidates will be back in Wisconsin later this week. Meanwhile, the latest Marquette Law School poll before Election Day shows Harris's lead over Trump has shortened in the state. Poll director Charles Franklin says it does remain close.
50 for Harris, 49 for Trump. This is for likely voters. This is a little bit tighter than we were a month ago at the end of September when it was a 4-point Harris lead. It should not surprise anyone if Donald Trump wins, and it should not surprise anyone if Kamala Harris wins.
Harris's lead is within the 4.4% margin of error at the U.S. Senate race, and Democratic incumbent Tammy Baldwin is in a 2-point race with Republican challenger Eric Hovde, 51-49%. It could be a winter coat night for trick-or-treaters across most of Wisconsin. Forecasters say temperatures will be anywhere between the 50s to the 30s by the time kids are out for trick-or-treating this evening. Strong winds will make it feel much cooler. Be careful and watch out for those kids while you're out driving this evening. This is Wisconsin Radio Network.
I'm Terry Schoonover, candidate for Assembly in District 29, which runs along the Mississippi River from Trempealeau in the south to Prescott in the north and over to Blair in the east. For 20 years, I worked in emergency management. I learned you can't do it by yourself. You have to listen. You have to work with all the agencies that have a piece of the action. You have to respect each other. I want to take that experience to Madison. Help break the gridlock. Get people working together. Get stuff done. I'd appreciate your vote for Assembly on November 5th. Paid for by Schoonover for 8029. Bill Brueger, Treasurer.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Rain turns into a wintry mix this afternoon as a few snowflakes start to mix in. This is winds are crashing our temperatures, gusting up to 30 miles per hour, creating a wind chill. We can also hear some thunder, and we will clear out and crash cold overnight. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. For fall and winter getaways, check out Alexandria, Minnesota. ExploreAlex.com. It's 43 degrees at our studio.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Details of a new herbicide registration. We'll find out what it might mean for soybean growers. And it's College Roadshow time. We're taking our coverage to SDSU to learn about what the College of Ag offers and how the outreach from SDSU covers the entire state.
Live from the final day of October via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we'll begin with a conversation with Kyle Kunkler from the American Soybean Association. Then we head to the campus of South Dakota State University for a chat with Joe Cassidy. Directly following the news, Neville Spear from Drovers. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, say hello to the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, buddy. Happy Halloween. How's my costume
What's
look?
Shaking, homie? You look fantastic. You look fantastic.
Thank you.
You look like a superstar celebrity radio broadcaster. Is that what you were going for?
Well, yes. Yeah,
because you're spot on.
Since that would be pretend for me, yes. That is exactly what I was going for.
Oh.
Holy smokes. Wow.
Yeah.
Man, I must have nailed it. Woo.
I was going to try and steer you right out of self-deprecation there, but no, you steered her right back into the rhubarb.
I got her right back in there.
That's what's up.
And you, my friend, look particularly handsome on this Halloween. Happy Halloween, buddy.
Happy Halloween. I can't account for the handsomeness. I was born this way,
yeah.
Chip.
I understand.
Tuned
completely.
At the factory.
It's just everyday handsome for you. I get it.
I'm used to it, I guess.
Get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even
yeah.
see
well,
it.
You know, it's a little shocking to everyone else. So
that's why I'm on radio, not TV.
That's why you're on.
Just to make it fair.
That's right. It rained, man. It rained.
Yeah, it did here too, bro. It rained hard. I don't know. I can't find my phone right now, so I don't have any stats for you. It's 49 degrees here, though, right now.
43.
It definitely, you know, and the old horseshoe and knees and ankles and wrists and hip, they're kind of chattering a little bit this week. I'm not going to lie.
Kind of feeling that? Yeah, boy.
Quite a bit.
I hear you. I don't know if you watched the Dodgers game last night the Dodgers and Yankees to finish up the World Series or not, but I don't know if I'm going to remember the comeback or the collapse more. But
Ooh.
That fifth inning was just like stunning. It was absolutely a stunning inning of half inning of baseball. Unbelievable.
So the Dodgers took it?
Yes.
Dodgers absolutely are the reigning world champs now.
Yeah. All exactly. Right. The World Series championship is back in the league, back in the senior division. So love that. All right, man. Let's go ahead and get started. What you got in the news?
I'm going to start with the weather. Moderate to heavy snow over parts of the Southern Cascades and Northern Intermountain region, with a second area over parts of the Upper Midwest on Thursday. Temperatures will be 20 to 25 degrees above average over parts of the lower Great Lakes, eastern Ohio Valley, and northeast to the mid-Atlantic. There's a marginal risk of severe thunderstorms over parts of the Ohio-Tennessee Valley and lower Mississippi Valley, and a marginal risk of excessive rainfall over parts of the lower Mississippi Valley today. Chip weather forecasts face some uncertainty as the Pacific remains between El Nino and La Nina. That complicates predictions. La Nina typically associated with cooler, wetter weather in the Pacific Northwest and drier conditions in the southern U.S. is now expected to arrive late and be weak, possibly allowing other weather patterns like the North Atlantic Oscillation to dominate. Chip?
Yeah, we had a conversation with Sean Hackett. Sean is not a weather forecaster, but he is a student of the weather he keeps track of what's going on with it. What day did we have that? Tuesday. We had a Tuesday afternoon. If you didn't hear it, go back and listen to it.
Check it out. Well, private exporters reported sales of 150,000 metric tons of soybean cake and meal for delivery to unknown destinations. That's for the 24-25 marketing year. And Chip, H5N1 has been detected in a pig in a backyard farm in Oregon. That's the first detection of the virus in U.S. swine, according to USDA. Tests are still pending for two other hogs on the farm. The Oregon farm has been quarantined. Other animals there, including sheep and goats, are under surveillance. Pigs and poultry on the farm were culled to prevent the spread of the virus and enable testing of the swine. Chip, the pigs apparently were not intended for the commercial food supply. No concern about the safety of the U.S. pork supply from this.
No concern from this, but it is something that we have to keep track of. And doggone it, I mean, just zero biosecurity at this. It sounds like that whole backyard, the birds in that whole backyard were all infected with H5N1, and they just let the animals mingle and mix. Doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, in September 2024, the United States Personal Consumption Expenditure, or PCE, price index rose 0.2% month on month, matching expectations. Now, annually, PCE inflation fell to 2.1%. That's its lowest since February 2021, down from 2.3% in August, while the core rate held steady at 2.7% above the expected 2.6%. A lot of numbers there, Chip.
Yeah, definitely, and it all matters as we head into the elections next week.
Yep. Well, and finally here, tomorrow's jobs report is crucial for markets, Chip, as it may influence the Federal Reserve's upcoming rate decision. A strong report could delay cuts, while a weak one could prompt a larger cut but raise economic concerns. One more here quick. Jack McIntyre, portfolio manager at Brandywine Global Investment, highlights the U.S. government's interest expenses now exceed national defense spending, underscoring unsustainable deficit spending. How you like them apples?
I don't like that at all. All right, Davis. Hey, good stuff. Thank you so much. Let's bring in Neville Spear, contributing editor at Drovers. Hey, good morning, Neville.
Yep, good morning. How are you?
No, I'm doing fine, doing fine. Talk to me about what's happening in the cash cattle trade.
Wow. Last week, what a week, huh? We spotted 190. That's the first time we've hit that level since early August. That's $9 better than our September low, too. You know, Chip, but what's amazing, we talked about this last week, right? Big weights, lots of throughput. Yeah. We had huge September fed beef production. It was 5.5% bigger than last year. Our numbers are running even so far in October, but we're on bigger weights. So we're getting better prices on bigger throughput. That's an incredible story of demand. Really amazing what we're getting done here in this business.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So what's been the trend, you know, compared to a year ago in this cash cattle market, Neville?
Okay, well, this week, right, this last week, we were $6 better year over year. Okay. But if you go back to April of 21, we started a streak, Chip, of 179 weeks straight, year over year, better prices. We took a little break. And now we're on starting another 5 weeks. So last week was the fifth week in a row, better prices year over year. And again, on bigger production, it's just, it's really incredible and surprising, right? We're talking about all the stuff going on, all the uncertainty in the election, inflation.
Yeah.
Beef demand is off the charts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great story.
Absolutely. It's a fantastic story for cattle producers out there, because they're putting quality on the plate, and
that's right,
quality gets comeback customers, man. Comeback
Love
customers.
It.
Yes. Neville, good stuff, man. We'll talk to you later.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, Neville
Bye-bye.
Spear, contributing editor at Drovers. We are talking herbicide registrations next.
At Beck's, we stand up for the things that matter most. Our faith, our independence, and helping farmers succeed. As the largest family-owned seed company in the U.S., we believe in the integrity of remaining an independent family-owned seed company. Since our founding in 1937, we have continued to produce quality products backed by a quality family of employees and dealers dedicated to serving American farmers. And that's something to be proud of. Beck's. Founded in faith, forged in America. For more information, visit beckshybrids.com.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Jeff Ellis is a technical services manager at AMVAC. Jeff, talk to me about rootworm control.
Yeah, rootworm control is very important. Most people think that rootworms cause over $1 billion in losses for growers. And so Index is a top-performing liquid at plant insecticide that growers can use to really help maximize their yield potential of their crop, regardless of which trait package they're using, whether using a trait or not, or which individual trait did they choose to use. And so Index contains two modes of action. They're very complementary to each other, so they both do a really good job on corn rootworm control, but then also control other seedling and seed pests such as corn cutworms, grubs, seed corn maggots, and wireworms.
Excellent. Thank you, Jeff. That is Jeff Ellis, Technical Services Manager at AMVAC. To learn more, head to www.amvac.com.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer.
Tax season is just around the corner. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sunstrom & Company in downtown Durand help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sunstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sunstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durand location next to the Courier Wedge. Sunstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Bex. Bex Hybrids is with you every turn because both on and off the field, we're all farmers at heart. See why at BexHybrids.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. Glad that you are with us on this Thursday morning. Halloween 2024. Look out. Weather's taking a turn in the Midwest. We got some rain, and trick-or-treating conditions might not be ideal. ideal, but I bet the kids still get out there. All right. Kyle Kunkler is the Director of Government Affairs for the American Soybean Association. He joins us right now. Kyle, good morning. Welcome to AgriTalk.
Good morning, Chip. Great to join you this morning. Thanks for the invitation.
Well, I'm glad you're here because, man, I tell you, normally after I read a press release or talk with someone at a commodity organization or talk with a farmer about a concern, about a happening, I usually have a pretty good understanding of what's happening and why it's important. And then there's this new registration for glufosinate P, Kyle. What is the status? What do we need to understand about EPA's decision on glufosinate P?
It's a great question. And for what it's worth, your reaction is a common one. So you're in good company,
okay.
Chip. Let me take a quick step back and provide a little bit of background if that's helpful.
Yes.
Starting a couple years ago, EPA made the decision. So it's no secret. They've been getting sued for years because pesticide registrations have not been compliant with the Endangered Species Act. And federal courts have found this time and time and time again. And it's hard. So normally, you know, Endangered Species Act is you have to make sure that a project, say like a bridge, will protect some species where it might be being built. If you're building a bridge over a creek and there's a turtle, that's one thing.
Right.
But pesticide registrations are used across dozens of crops, hundreds of millions of acres, and intersect with hundreds of endangered species. And that's really hard. So EPA has not historically done this. So they've made this decision, okay, to keep from getting sued, we're going to now be compliant. And there's two ways that they're looking at trying to do that, reducing runoff from pesticides from fields and reducing spray drift. And they've spent the last couple years putting together this framework. They also have made the decision they don't think they can go chemistry by chemistry, species by species, because that's, again, too much. So they decided they're going to lump things together. They're going to do all the herbicides together, all the insecticides together, fungicides, and so on. And they recently, back in August, finalized what they call their herbicide strategy that puts in place this common set of restrictions for herbicides that they can then bake into new registrations moving forward to reduce runoff and spray drift. And the news is this is the first one that we've seen since they finalized sort of that new framework. And here's where the news is. In the draft that EPA came out with for glufosinate P, they said, look, if we put in place, we don't think ground spray drift is a risk, but aerial could be. So we're going to put in place a 50-foot buffer for aerial applications. And we're going to require one, what they call points. So you would need to implement a conservation practice off of a list to reduce your runoff risk. And that could be things like cover crops or reduced tillage or vegetative filters, things like that. And they said, if you do these things, 50-foot aerial buffer and one point, then we think that all of the species that we've reviewed will be protected. Okay. So now, but we went and looked at the comments that came into the draft registration. And some of those groups that have historically sued EPA commented and said, we don't think that's good enough. We don't think the species will be protected. And so the final registration comes out last week. And we noticed that despite the fact that EPA said that the draft would protect the species and it was consistent with this new herbicide strategy set of restrictions that they put in place, there are restrictions above and beyond what would be required to protect species. So now we were in the draft, we weren't looking at any ground spray drift buffer, but now we're looking at a 10-foot spray drift buffer. And we were only going to be required in the draft to have one runoff point, and now we've got three runoff points that are required.
The
goalposts have been moved. So, I mean, the set of restrictions, I mean, we've talked to a lot of farmers and a lot of other folks, and they said, you know, 10-foot buffer is manageable. That's something that they can do. And the point isn't so much of, you know, isn't about the restrictions themselves, but where the direction is going with how EPA is now implementing this. If they come out with a draft and say it's protective, and then they get some, you know, suggestions from groups that have historically sued them saying, we don't think so, And then when you see the final, it's now got all sorts of additional restrictions on.
Yeah.
You know, what happens, you know, glufosinate's a pretty, you know, it's a pretty, you know, environmentally light, non-impactful herbicide. You know, what happens when you get to herbicides or, you know, insecticides or other things like that, that might have a larger, you know, ecological environmental footprint? You know, what sort of above and beyond are we going to be looking at there?
Right.
So we felt the need to raise concern that
well, yeah. You know, yeah, and then Kyle, the other thing that's really got me concerned in all of this is it sounds to me like the stakeholders in this whole thing had a good understanding of what they thought was going to be on the final label, but somehow, some way, that what ended up on the final label was different than what you all thought was going to be on there.
That's exactly right. And here's the thing, too. Well, also, what does the science and the evidence justify? If the EPA says the science and the data shows that this will be protective, the draft will be, and now we're seeing new stuff beyond what the science and data says is necessary, where does it end? Where does it stop?
Exactly.
And the other thing, like, let's take this a little bit step further. And I want to talk again a little bit about sort of this framework that EPA has pulled together again. You know, they're talking about, so, you know, we talked that this is going to require 3 points. They've said that some herbicides could require 9 points. So think about this. If you put in place cover crops and you get 2 points for that, and you do your reduced tillage and you get two points or 3 points for no till, add that up, you know, and then say maybe you get 3 points for a 60-foot riparian buffer, edge of field buffer. How are farmers going to do all of this? And what's that going to cost their farm to go and bring all of these fields into compliance to use the tools that they're already using that they need to be productive in their operations? And that's what the strategy says that they would need to be required to do under this strategy. And are we now looking at potentially above and beyond the strategy? Right. So we're really concerned. I mean, could this jeopardize, or could farmers need to make potentially hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars in new investments into their farms to continue to use the tools that they're already using, you know, and to keep using those same tools? We're very concerned, about how this could impact farmers and their ability to just keep protecting their crops.
Okay. It is all very concerning. But I gotta know, what's the world sunflower got to do with this?
Yeah, that's a great question too. So the EPA, I mentioned that they're going sort of bucket by bucket, herbicides, fungicides, insecticides, so on. So they also have this strategy where they've identified certain species that they think are uniquely susceptible to pesticide exposure risks. And they call them their vulnerable species list. And this world sunflower is one of them.
Okay.
And they're establishing special pesticide use limitation areas where you have a uniquely stringent set of restrictions if you farm in those areas to make sure you're not impacting these species. World sunflower is one of them. And there was a lot of criticism from farm groups, even the environmental groups were critical and said the maps that you're using to show where these species are at are they're all wrong. It was funny is you went and go pull up where the maps were showing where the species were at, and you could find parking lots, in the draft where they were alleging the species was. So to their credit, EPA said, okay, we got to go redo the maps. And EPA pledged and said, we will not implement any of these even vulnerable species restrictions. So for example, the sunflower, until we've revised the maps, they committed to doing that. And yet, lo and behold, we see the glufosinate P registration come out, and it has in place the restriction for the sunflower, despite the fact that they haven't redone the maps yet. And they said they didn't think that they would be. Now, it's a very small area, mind you. It's a pretty small, you know, it's a pretty small footprint. But this came out of nowhere. This was not in the draft.
That's the point. Yes. Yeah.
And then EPA committed and said they wouldn't do it until they revised the maps. And yet here we are. They've dropped in the map. And again, this was not something that was in the draft and no one raised concerns about it.
Okay. All right. Kyle, Keep us informed on the status of this, and we'll talk to you again soon on it. Okay,
appreciate it. Thanks, Chip.
All right, Kyle. Thank you, man. I understand what's going on now and what the concern is. Kyle Kunkler, Director, Government Affairs, American Soybean Association.
At Beck's, we stand up for the things that matter most: our faith, our independence, and helping farmers succeed. As the largest family-owned seed company in the U.S., we believe in the integrity of remaining an independent family-owned seed company. Since our founding in 1937, we have continued to produce quality products backed by a quality family of employees and dealers dedicated to serving American farmers. And that's something to be proud of. Bex, founded in faith, forged in America. For more information, visit BexHybrids.com.
Spring floods, fall floods,
there's extreme fires, extreme drought.
Extreme weather cost American farmers over $21 billion in 2023.
Our farm is more resilient through the use of cover crops.
These USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America.
Conservation practices that help farmers weather these storms are at risk in the Farm Bill.
If you're smart farming, you're also climate smart farming.
Climate smart farming is just smart farming. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
Introducing Riverside Plaza, now open at the shop bays of Napa Auto Parts in Durand. Riverside Plaza is a Napa Auto Care Center offering expert service at a price you can afford. Get oil changes starting at just $22.50, plus oil and filter, including a full inspection and fluid top-off. Riverside Plaza also provides tire sales, repairs, fleet maintenance, diagnostics, and wheel alignments. Enjoy convenient drop-off and loyalty rewards. Open until 6 p.m. daily and Saturdays by appointment. Riverside Plaza, 403 West Madison Street, downtown Durand.
As the presidential campaign comes to a close, Kamala Harris is attacking environmental activist and presidential candidate Jill Stein. What's the truth? Kamala Harris has flip-flopped on the environment. Harris was opposed to fracking. Now she supports it. She supported the Green New Deal. Now she won't act on it. And what exactly has Kamala Harris done to stop PFAS, toxic forever chemicals, from leaking into our groundwater? Jill Stein will ban fracking, remove PFAS from our water, and pass the Green New Deal. And while Kamala Harris won't stop the genocide in Gaza and sides with Israel, Jill Stein will stop the genocide, demand Israel's ceasefire, and has a plan for peace. On November 5th, cast a true vote for the future of this country. Vote Jill Stein for president. Vote Green. Paid for by Badger Values. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. Badger Values is responsible for the content of this advertising. BadgerValues.com.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Rain turns into a wintry mix this afternoon as a few snowflakes start to mix in. This as winds are crashing our temperatures, gusting up to 30 miles per hour, creating a wind chill. We can also hear some thunder, and we will clear out and crash cold overnight. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. For fall and winter getaways, check out Alexandria, Minnesota. ExploreAlex.com. It's 43 degrees at our studios.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know?
All right, it is time to hit the College Road Show here on AgriTalk this week. We are featuring South Dakota State University. Shout out to all the Jackrabbits out there, and a shout out to Bex for making the Farm Journal College Roadshow possible.
Time Morgan is going to have full coverage from Brookings, South Dakota, and the SDSU campus on U.S. Farm Report this weekend. Okay, joining us now, Joe Cassidy, South Dakota Corn Endowed Dean of the College of Agriculture, Food, and Environmental Sciences there at SDSU. Dean Cassidy, welcome back to AgriTalk. It's good to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm doing great, Chip. Thank you for the opportunity, and we're happy to be hosting Ag Day and the College Roadshow.
Excellent, excellent. So what does it mean to be the South Dakota Corn Endowed Dean at SDSU?
Well, it's a really exciting opportunity to serve not only our students and our faculty, but, of course, the state of South Dakota. Ag being the number one industry in South Dakota, it's a role that I take very seriously and just really blessed to have the opportunity.
Well, and then South Dakota Corn is stepping up and providing big support for the Ag College there at SDSU. That's an important piece of the puzzle, isn't it?
Absolutely. South Dakota Corn is one of our most important stakeholders. Back in about 2010, they funded the endowment for the dean's position, and they actually just upped their commitment here in the last 6 months and added another $500,000 to this endowment. And that's just a wonderful thing that enables me to better support our students, faculty, and carry out our mission.
Yeah, Dean Cassidy, what does South Dakota Corn get in return for that? I mean, it's got to be, turning out people, young people that are ready to step into the world of agriculture, right?
Well, the College of Ag and Food and Environmental Sciences impacts corn production in the state in a number of ways. Certainly the undergraduates and the education and adding to the workforce is important. The graduate students are another important contribution. And then the research being done by the graduate students and the faculty is critical. And of course, we have our extension efforts that help and support our producers and try to answer their questions as best we can.
Yeah, excellent. I do want to talk about that a little bit. Brookings is over in the far eastern part of the state, but SDSU has the whole state to account for, and you do that, I believe, with the West River Research and Extension Station. Tell me about that.
So the West River Ag Center, or West River Research and Extension Center, is headed up by our assistant dean, Dr. Christy Kamak, and so she's our point person out there. But we have quite a number of faculty and extension folks who are officed out of Rapid City. But then also we have area extension offices throughout the state, located in a number of different towns, just Winter, Lemon, Pier, just to mention a few in the western part of the state. And then we have research stations. So we have a research station near Phillip called the Cottonwood Research Station. Okay. We have an agronomic research station near Sturgis. So we're spread throughout the state.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Okay. So what's got you excited about the College of Ag there at SDSU? Talk to that high school student that is thinking of planning a career in agriculture. Why should they consider SDSU's College of Ag?
Well, there are many exciting opportunities at South Dakota State and in the College of Ag. We're happy that we're successful recruiting those high school students. We had a record incoming freshman class at SDSU this year in 2,449 students, and we're up on enrollment, our total enrollment over 12,000. So you can come to South Dakota State and join many of your peers who are recognizing the opportunities. And those opportunities range from, production agriculture with agronomy and animal science to things and dairy production, dairy manufacturing, precision agriculture. But also it's important to remember our environmental sciences, natural resource law enforcement, fisheries and wildlife. So, and there's lots of opportunities for students to get a double major or major and a minor. I always encourage our production students to look at getting a minor in ag business. Of course, some of them get majors in ag business. So I just think there's a lot of opportunities to get a well-rounded education. And then we have a number of student groups and organizations like our quarter-scale tractor team that's competing for a national title every year and lots of things.
Okay. How's the job market in agriculture, Dean Cassidy? Is jobs, what's the placements like?
Well, I think things are generally going well. But it's certainly better in some areas than others. Right now, dairy manufacturing, for instance, boy, we could be placing four or five students for everyone we have graduating. So okay. If there's some young folks out there that are interested in how you make cheese or how you make ice cream, or they think it'd be really neat to develop a new flavor of ice cream, boy, dairy manufacturing, there's just tremendous opportunities right now. That's not to say there aren't opportunities in animal science and agronomy and all these other areas. Sure. Natural resource law enforcement, certainly another area where, you know, we really need good law enforcement officers to assist in being game wardens and protecting our natural resources. So many, many opportunities.
Yeah. You know, the dairy manufacturing is something that, boy, that wouldn't have been on my list of things to even think about. But what an opportunity for somebody out there. Earlier you mentioned the faculty. What's got your faculty excited there at SDSU?
I think one of the things that attracts people to SDSU as far as the faculty is we're truly committed to the land grant mission. And the land grant mission is those three focuses of research, extension, and education. Unfortunately, some of our peers around the country, I think in the pursuit of what they're chasing, have somewhat abandoned the land grant mission. And we're very proud that South Dakota State has held true to that. One part of that is we have a pretty modest enrollment requirement. So we're really devoted to trying to give access to education to all people, especially those from South Dakota, but also those from the region. And that's just really, really important. And those faculty who come here, they're going to be in the research lab, but they're going to be in the classroom teaching as well. Yeah. And that's not true of all of our peers today.
Right. You know, one of the themes that has developed through this fall's College Roadshows has been that faculty are having to adjust to a new learning environment. The incoming students expect a different tact when it comes to learning. Are you experiencing that up there at SDSU?
You know, I suppose there's a little bit of that, but honestly, in the ag college, we get a lot of students that are from rural backgrounds. They have tremendous work ethic. In fact, my spouse, Dr. Beverly Cassidy, and I co-teach a freshman orientation class with 140 incoming freshmen every year. Yeah. And I couldn't be more excited about the future. I mean, just talented young people asking good questions, and I'm really, really enthused.
Yeah. It's no secret that farming and agriculture in general entering a period of a little tougher financial conditions out there. Have you noticed that in the excitement level? You know, something coming in a little bit less than exciting in that freshman orientation?
Well, honestly, if you look historically, the farm economy and students choosing to pursue four-year degrees are countercyclical. When the farm economy is really roaring, which it has been in recent years, we've actually seen a decline in the number of young men in the College of Ag in particular. Number of young women we're delighted to see is up. When the farm economy slows down, then it seems like there's actually an increase in the number of folks that that look at opportunities that can be provided through that four-year education. So I certainly never want to see the farm economy slow down, but I can't change the facts of what has happened. So I'm excited to have a lot of students joining us.
Yeah. Well, that actually makes sense. Okay, real quick, open-ended question for you here to wrap things up. What else do we need to know about the College of Ag up there at SDSU?
Well, there's just a lot of exciting opportunities here. We've really been able to hire a lot of talented faculty in recent years, and I don't think there's a better time to come and learn from really talented folks and best position yourself for the future. There are a lot of good jobs out there, and that college degree is something that nobody can ever take away from you.
Outstanding, outstanding. You feeling good about the Jackrabbits' chances against Murray State on Saturday?
I think we got a good chance against Murray State. In fact, I'm feeling pretty good about the rest of the season.
That's fantastic. I'm sure the playoffs will be knocking on your door again up there at SDSU.
I think we'll be there.
I hope so. I hope so. Dean Cassidy, thank you so much for your time. We certainly appreciate it today. Thank you.
Thank you, Chip. And go Jacks.
You bet. That is Joe Cassidy, South Dakota Corn Endowed Dean of the College of Agriculture, Food, and Environmental Sciences there at South Dakota State University. SDSU, I tell you what, you know, when we talk about a loyal group of graduates and supporters, when it comes to SDSU, the graduates definitely step up and support that university. Good to talk with Dean Cassidy. Okay, coming up next, Davis and I will wrap up this morning's AgriTalk.
Retirement at Jerry Bear & Sons, your Golden Harvest seed dealer, their best skill is knowing how to listen. Because once they understand your operation and goals, they can offer the right products to perform in your fields. From the Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to expert insights, it's an answer to what they have heard from you. Get fall cash discounts when you order your Golden Harvest seeds now at Jerry Bear & Sons, just off Highway 25, Durant.
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit Wisconsin Soybean.
Sure, it's election season, but there are some things that all of us should still be able to agree on, like this. Elections in Wisconsin should be decided by the citizens of Wisconsin. But our democracy is under threat from radical groups that are fighting to keep the door open for illegal immigrants and non-citizens voting. Your Republican state legislators passed an amendment that would make sure only citizens get to vote. But a network of radical groups and special interests are fighting against it. Groups that support mass amnesty for illegal immigrants, abolishing ICE and funding sanctuary cities, outright socialists, all working together to keep the door open to non-citizens voting in our elections. Wisconsin, we need to protect our elections. Vote yes on the referendum and support Republican candidates for state Senate and state assembly who are fighting to protect your vote. The Republican Party of Wisconsin paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Our faith, our independence, and helping farmers succeed. As the largest family-owned seed company in the U.S., we believe in the integrity of remaining an independent family-owned seed company. Since our founding in 1937, we have continued to produce quality products backed by a quality family of employees and dealers dedicated to serving American farmers. And that's something to be proud of. Bex. Founded in faith, forged in America. For more information, visit BexHybrids.com.
No doubt you've heard of MetLife, but did you know that MetLife Investment Management has over 100 years of ag lending experience? The MetLife Investment Management team maintains close relationships with its borrowers and can structure a customized loan with flexible terms to meet your financial needs. Looking to expand, refinance, or recapitalize? Consider MetLife Investment Management. Learn more at MetLife.com/ag.
Nick Hammett is a sales rep for Neogen. He joins us right now. Nick, Neogen has a genomics product to help commercial beef producers. Tell us about that.
Yeah, our flagship product's called Igenity Beef. What it does is provide commercial producers the opportunity to send in a genomic sample, usually an ear punch, and we'll run the DNA on that animal, and we'll get that commercial producer back Igenity scores on 17 different traits. So all their maternal traits, cavities, growth traits, carcass traits. They get a whole portfolio of information that they can use, similar to EPDs, but not quite going through the entire EPD process like you would with a breed association.
Yeah, this is fantastic. And Neogen also offers a genomic test for feeder cattle. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we do. Feed yards and even commercial producers are using that feeder test to decide potentially which calves they may want to retain ownership on, or also to provide potential buyers with the value of those calves. And then once they get to the feed yard, that feed yard could use that information to sort those calves into uniform outcome groups so that by pen they can more optimally hit their days on feed and make feeding cattle more profitable for everybody involved.
Very cool. You mentioned Igenity Branded. What is it?
So Igenity Branded uses either Igenity Beef or Igenity Feeder to value those cattle based on their terminal index. So obviously buyers are willing to pay a little more money for calves that are genetically superior. Igenity Branded's just a way of proving the value of those calves. So those buyers want to pay you more money for the better cattle. So no longer are you just saying, hey, my cattle are better than average, please pay me more money. It actually is a genomic test that proves it.
Very cool. Where can listeners get more information?
Neogen.com. Just go to our website and we've got all kinds of information that can guide you to the right places and get more information on those products.
Thank you, Nick. Nick Hammett, sales rep for Neogen.
If the world is your oyster, we've got pearls of wisdom on AgriTalk.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. We sure do appreciate it. I'm your pal, Davis Michelson, the handsome newsman himself. Chip Flory here as well. Outstanding celebrity broadcaster, Chip Flory, as he's known in these parts. You know, dude, it's been too long. I didn't even go to South Dakota this summer. I didn't even cross into the borders this last summer,
wow. And
you know how I feel about South Dakota. So,
yes,
during that commercial break, I just took a minute. I went to Priceline.com, to a hotel booking site. I got to get back to South Dakota, baby. I love the people.
Oh, yeah.
I love the topography, the territory,
well,
the stark contrast from east to west. You just can't go wrong in Southie D, baby.
I will be sure to say hello to the fine people of South Dakota for you when I arrive there, or for you when I arrive there early tomorrow afternoon.
Oh my goodness. You're going to South Dakota tomorrow. Is that what you're telling me?
Tomorrow. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
How you torture me. How you torture.
Well, we go for different reasons. You are there to hunt rocks and I am there to hunt birds.
Yes. Pretty chickens. If
pretty
I'm not mistaken.
Chickens. Ditch chickens. Yes.
Yeah. That sounds great. Well, we wish you the best. Safety first is what I usually say in times like these.
Yeah. Right.
Talk to me about what Neville Spear from Drovers had to say. Can we begin there? September production, better prices on bigger throughput.
Yeah. Yeah. So in other words, our cattle numbers are basically equal to what we had a year ago, but we've got heavier carcass weights, significantly heavier carcass weights. Therefore, we are producing more than what we produced a year ago, but our cash price, you heard Brian at the bottom of the hour say, it looks like it's going to set back just a touch from what it was last week.
Yeah.
But compared to a year ago, we're still higher than what we were a year ago in the cash market. Like Neville said, we're about $9 better than what we were in early September at that low that we posted at like 180, 181. It's got to be demand. That is the absolute bottom line. It's got to be demand that is pulling us up. But that streak that he talked about, you got to go back to April of 21, and we went 179 weeks. 179 weeks. Okay, 179 divided by 52 is 3.44 years in which the cash market was higher year on year. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's pretty just impressive. An incredible streak. Took a 3-week breather there in September, and now we're back on that 5-week run with better prices than what we saw a year ago. And it is absolutely amazing, and it is a sign of just how much demand is in this market.
Well, and I want to talk about that, and I don't want to get you too far into the weeds. You're not a butcher by trade necessarily, but I'm wondering, those heavier weights, do they necessarily, because beef demand off the charts is what Neville said. And I put an exclamation point after it for emphasis. That's my own addition, but emphasis. Do heavier weights lever Great for question. Certain cuts?
Great question. I do want to do a little bit of examination of that.
Yeah.
You know, are the ribs, ribs weighing heavier? Are the loins weighing heavier? Mm-hmm. Are we getting more steaks per animal than what we did a year ago? I got a feeling the answer to that is going to be no. And if we are, it's not that many more. It's hamburger. It's trim.
That's my thought too. How much is going in the grinder? Yeah,
that's what we're adding. But in this hamburger economy that we're in, that's very, very important. And the reason that I call it a hamburger economy is because we are importing beef, and the beef that we are importing is mostly for hamburger. Okay.
Okay.
So when you've got enough demand out there that it is driving imports, you got to pay attention to how to our domestic supply of that, of the trim that's being grounded in burger.
Okay. Well done. That was a good answer. Yeah, I feel better. Okay. Kyle Kunkler from the American Soybean Association. The goalposts have been moved.
Yes.
And then the question that followed that, which I believe is the bigger question, and we can't answer it. The question is, when does it stop?
Yeah.
Where does it stop?
Exactly. And making up rules as we go here. It sounds to me like the industry had a really, really good idea of what the rules were and all the definitions and all the definitions that would be used in establishing this final label, and they moved they changed the rules. That's part of the reason that we've got these commodity groups out there, is to watchdog on mm-hmm. issues like this. And it's a good thing that ASA is there and keeping track on this glufosinate P final label and what it might mean for us going forward.
Yeah. This from the news really quickly. Seems like during COVID, the whole lumber market just went insane. Building materials in general, but we talked about the lumber market quite a bit. I have this now. Eastern U.S. hardwood production has hit record lows, Chip, with current output projected to be 40% below 2017 levels. Once supporting vibrant manufacturing in nearby towns, the industry turned to exports as domestic demand fell, leaving it vulnerable when exports to China dropped 50% from 17 to 2019. More trouble in the lumber, Chip.
Yeah. Yeah, and now you've got the Southeast lumber market that is dealing with the impacts of Hurricane Helene in particular. Holy smokes.
They need every 2x4 they can find.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay, you know what? We need to dig into that lumber situation a little bit deeper and figure out exactly what's going on there. All right, thank you so much for listening this morning. Come back this afternoon. We got Steve Georgie from Allendale on the show tomorrow morning, a free-for-all. Wiesmeyer, Haney, and Michelson, and not me, tomorrow morning here on AgriTalk.
At Beck's, we stand up for the things that matter most. Our faith, our independence, and helping farmers succeed. As the largest family-owned seed company in the U.S., we believe in the integrity of remaining an independent family-owned seed company. Since our founding in 1937, we have continued to produce quality products backed by a quality family of employees and dealers dedicated to serving American farmers. And that's something to be proud of. Beck's. Founded in faith, forged in America. For more information, visit BecksHybrids.com.
You set high expectations for yourself, and so do we. As America's largest farmer-led, farmer-focused agricultural and educational event, Commodity Classic has held record-breaking shows 2 years in a row, keeping you at the top of your game with a world-class trade show and inspiring education designed by farmers for farmers. Commodity Classic is elevating excellence in agriculture as we visit Denver for the first time in 2025. Join us March 2nd through 4th and discover more at CommodityClassic.com.
Eric Hovde's been caught lying again. Caught lying about Tammy Baldwin 20 times in his ads. The latest, quote, Hovde falsely claimed that Tammy Baldwin supports sex change surgery on minors. The truth? Tammy Baldwin doesn't support that, and there's no sex change surgeries on minors anywhere in Wisconsin.